Well, how are you doing, Overflow Church? Man, you guys are the most holy of all the people in our church because it's Labor Day weekend, right? And you guys decided to come to second service. And so, like, obviously, Jesus loves you more than everybody else, right? And so, man, I am super excited. And I just want to say thank you so much for your generosity as a community. Before I get into the word, I know some people have been like, hey, Pastor Elijah, where have you been? Like, you usually preach on Sundays, and what's going on? And just to let you know, man, I am so thankful because you guys have allowed me to get some rest over the summer. As everybody's traveling and stuff, I get to get a chance to get some rest. And especially this year, the elders really, we just had this conversation where they just challenged me to get the opportunity to rest, to get some opportunity just to kind of get some downtime. And it has been so good for me because what that's allowed me to do is to get away for a little bit and pray and just ask God, God, where do you want to lead us as a community? What is the word that you want us to, what is the word where you want us to go into? And so I'm really excited. Next week, we start off our Jonah series. And then in the fall, we're going to be in our Revelation series called Strangers in Babylon. And I know you can't wait for that. You're like, yes, sermon series through Revelation. And so I just want to say thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate that this is a community that believes in the many gifts of a church and not the one gifts of a person. How many know that individual or personality will always let you down, but God in community, right, will raise up people and that we can support and rejoice in. And I'm thankful because we have a ton of many gifts in here that can be used for the kingdom and the glory of God. Amen? Amen. All right. So we are in, we're not in a series, but I want to preach a word today entitled Good News, Something New. Can you repeat that with me? Good news. Great start. So we're in Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And you guys know this. You guys have had some guest speakers, so we have been doing it a lot lately, but I'm back. And so we're going to stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to stand for the reading of God's word. And after I get done reading, I'm just going to say these words. This is the word of the Lord. You're going to repeat back to me. Thanks be to God as a way for the word to shape our hearts and our minds and orient us into God's presence and what he's doing. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of the one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean courtside of all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these moments that we have together. I pray, Lord, now that you would move me out the way and that you would speak. Lord, let this word not just be merely head knowledge that we can continue to accumulate, but let it work its way into our hearts and then into our hands and feet, that we would walk out and live it. We thank you now, Lord, that you would just have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Here's a question for us this morning. What does it look like to be the church in this day and time? If you've been paying attention through this last month with all of our speakers, this is what we've been really landing on in this big idea during Awakening Month. And thinking through, what does it look like to truly, truly take God's word seriously, to live it out the way that God has communicated it to us. And as I was thinking and praying through, okay, God, what do you have me to say in between these two series? Like, all I've been thinking, I've been drawn back to this big idea of the good news, of the gospel, because at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about, isn't it? That is why we share the good news about Jesus. So often I think that the church, that we get a little too cute with this stuff sometimes, right? We come and we talk about relationships and managing our finances, or how not to be worried and how not to have anxiety. And don't get me wrong, those things are good, right? I'm not saying that the Bible doesn't have anything to say about that. It does have a lot to say about that. But sometimes we forget about what the real point, the real big message about all of this really is, and it's just about Jesus. That Jesus is that centering point, that when we get this thing right, when we get this Jesus thing right, then everything starts to fall in place in our lives. Jesus is really the main point of all of this. And in the gospel according to Mark, we are introduced to this Jesus, this good news of who Jesus is. So let me give you a little bit of context here. The book of Mark is written by John Mark. Most scholars believe that John Mark is a disciple of Peter, and actually he is recording for us Peter's recollection of his time with Jesus. This book is mostly written to believers that are in Rome at this time. What would have been going on around now when John Mark writes this message is that there is what is called the Jewish and Roman War that had taken place. Massive persecution had come. People were being killed. And let's be really serious about this historically. Let's keep it in context. It really wasn't a war. It was more like a massacre coming from Rome to the Jews. And in fact, if you're reading in scripture, Jesus talks about this in Matthew. He says there is coming a day, he literally prophesied, there's coming a day where there will be desolation and the enemies will come and women will regret being pregnant at that time because there will be such massive murder that you won't be able to feed your children, that people will literally run to the hills in fear and in weeping. Jesus prophesied it, and literally just years later, it happened. That's what that passage is talking about. John Mark here is writing to the people which are scattered in this, what is known as the diaspora at this time, that are scattered throughout the land, and there's believers here in Rome. And he says to them, and he encouraged them about the good news of Jesus. He communicates that this Jesus is so good that he is worthy of following. And not just that he is worthy of following, but he's also worthy of suffering for. In fact, suffering is such a big idea in John Mark's gospel here that 40% of Mark is focused around the last week of Jesus' anguish and suffering on his way to the cross. And then the other part is that Jesus is the Savior of the entire world. Many like to peg the book of Mark as this fast-paced book that is moving quickly. In fact, if you read it, you'll notice there's a theme that kind of pops up over and over. It will be, and suddenly Jesus went, and suddenly this happened, and suddenly this happened. Literally, John Mark doesn't start off with Jesus, 8 pounds, 6 ounces. Shout out to my cousin, Ricky Bobby, right? Like, he is fully grown, and he is moving. And this is what this book gives us. And this is the way the book of Mark starts out. Here it is. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I guarantee when you are doing a Bible study at home and you're reading through Mark, none of you read it like that. You probably read it like this. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it's written in Isaiah the prophet. Okay, let me keep going. That is not what is happening in the text. And sometimes when we read it in English, right, we get lost in translation. But if you read it in the original language, in the Greek text, there's a little bit more that's happening right here. It is popping. There is emphasis on certain words here. And it is the beginning of the good news. It's meant to jump out at you. It's meant to grab your attention. It's meant to burst out off the text if you are reading it as an early hearer in the first century. Do you know that the term good news in the Greek translated is, the term gospel in the Greek translated, it really literally means good news from a herald. And so you might be like, wait a second, like, you know, that I don't really know what a herald is. I live in America. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we won the war. That's more like a British thing, you know. Sorry if you're from England, but they lost. We won. We don't have stuff like that. Well, let me give you a picture. Not too long ago, there was a new king in England. Does anybody remember who it is? King Charles the III. Queen Elizabeth's mom died. And so something like this happened, right? There was a herald who looked like this. Basically, who would come out with a scroll and he would communicate, proclaim, he would herald, hear ye. On this day and time, in this year, King Charles III has ascended to the throne and he is now king of all of England and all the lands he surveys. Long live the king. There is a proclamation. Now, you might be like, well, what does that matter? You know why it mattered? I know that we live in a day of social media. We can just get that on our bottom line, right, when we're watching the news. But the way, reason why it mattered back in the day is because it was communicating to the people, there is no need to worry. There is no need to fret because the country is in control. The monarchy has not disbanded. There is a leader in the house. And when you hear this, when you read this passage, it should have invoked this idea that good news, there is something that is happening. I want you to think about that in the context of the hearers of the scriptures, which are in persecution, that have been dealing with exile for years. And all of a sudden they're like, when is this finally going to end? And now the Romans have turned their eyes on us. And now there is good news. Mark is communicating this to the recipients of the gospel, and there is this emphatic pronouncement in the beginning verse of the text. He is saying, this is the good news of the Messiah, God's Son, Jesus. I love the way a New Testament scholar N.T. Wright in his commentary describes what is happening here. He says, it is like you are sound asleep in a dark room, dreaming, drool literally rolling down your face, and the door bursts open and a bright light shines full on your face. A voice breaks in on your dream world and shouts, wake up, get up, you'll be late. And then the speaker splashes cold water on your face and says, time to stop dreaming and face the most important day of your life. Something new is happening. This is who John the Baptist is in the text. He is the guy with the bucket of cold water who is splashing it on your face and saying, wake up, have eager anticipation. Something new is happening. Many wanted the Messiah to come and to change everything in the first century, to abruptly overturn the oppressive government power that was Rome, the decay of sin and death thrust into the universe. And yet the voice crying in the wilderness was telling them, repent? What? Something new is coming? How does that make sense to my present situation and my reality? The truth is, no one truly fully understood what was taking place, but what they did know is that something new had happened. They knew that they had to be a part of this new movement. We can look now and think back and say, well, as this first century, how did they not see Jesus? Like there was doves and stuff that were floating out of the sky and words and things. And like, we should have known. Have you seen The Chosen? Like, it was crazy. But they didn't know. They were kind of stuck. See, I think we could quickly move past verse 1. And that's what we do when we read scripture. But I think we got to sit in this, because if you do not understand John Mark's thesis that something new has happened, that there is now good news, then I guarantee you will not understand the rest of the book, because everything is built on this idea of these eight verses. So if maybe you didn't understand the weird dude in the with the scroll on the screen, maybe you'll understand this. When I was younger, I used to love watching this show. It was one of my favorite shows. It was called Futurama. It was really cool. It was about this eccentric old scientist who had this international shipping company, and he would always do these weird experiments, and like he had this crew of people who he would send on this mission, and they would, every episode, if you go back, watch this, every episode, they would just sit at the table waiting, literally doing nothing, and all of a sudden, you would see this. The scientist would burst into the room and he would say, "Good news, everyone." Yeah, you can see it in your head, right? You can even remember in the episode, I bet. "Good news, everyone." And suddenly they would get their marching orders. They would literally perk up because now they were going to be sent on their way. I just wonder if we are like the crew in Futurama, sitting around the table, doing nothing, literally waiting, even though the good news, our marching orders have been given to us. What are we doing? Why are we just sitting here? We don't need somebody to burst in through the door. It's already happened. Here's the question for us this morning, Overflow Church, on this Labor Day weekend. Are we awake or are we still sleeping? Are we awake or are we still sleeping? Are we awake enough to understand that something incredible has happened? That's what John Mark is communicating. Something new has shaken the foundation of the cosmos, and we have been given the opportunity not only to engage with it, but to be the proclaimers, the herald of it, and to yell out to everyone we see, "Good news, everyone, Jesus the Messiah has come." So death, decay, and the grave now have to hide because God has broken into the universe. That is the news. I just wonder if this message has somehow gotten stale in our lives. I wonder if it is no longer compelling enough for us to share. I wonder if the world that we live in is so desperate and in need that maybe it is just waiting for something or someone to scream, "Good news, something new has happened." Maybe, just maybe, that's the reason why when we go to the First Testament in the Hebrew scriptures, they say to us, if we do not cry out, the rocks will cry out about this good news of who Jesus Christ is. There's a study done in Barnum, which is a research firm, in 2021. It said almost all practicing Christians believe that part of their faith means being a witness about Jesus, and that the best thing that could ever happen is for someone to know who Jesus is. That's 94 to 97% of believers. 94 to 97% of believers. Despite this, many millennials are unsure about the actual practice of evangelism. In fact, we know that even at Easter, when 80% of Americans say if somebody from the church would invite them on that day, they would come, less than 10% of believers invite someone to church on Easter. The question is, are we awake? Are we still sleeping? When we hear these studies, like, how does it make you feel? Why are you ashamed to share about this good news that literally is life-changing, that you're saying has eternal implications? What are we doing? I want you to feel the weight of the text in the midst of persecution. John Mark says, good news. Something new has taken place. Why do we act like it's bad news? Why do we act like it's news that needs to be hidden? Why do we act as if somehow if we just go around walking, maybe, just maybe, somebody might see me and, like, by osmosis, they'll rub off a little bit and then they will become believers? Yes, we want to live lives that show fully who we are as Jesus followers, but we also have to open our mouth. The good news is not just the life you live. It is baked into the word. It is those who open their mouth and herald the good news of who Jesus is, who proclaim it, who burst through doors and say, this is who has set me free from sin and the grave. Paul says it like this in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. He says this, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they ever hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring. Y'all ain't talking about. Y'all sounded off like it was okay news. That is, it was subpar news. That is some sometimes news. It says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. It's never bad news. It is the good news. It is the news that changed me. The news that grabbed me out of my broken place when I was feeling alone and dragged me on my feet. And it didn't matter that I had a limp, that he showed me that God loved me despite where I was. And that I can come just as I am, but I will never stay that way because he is in the journey with me, and he has confirmed that he will see this journey through to the end. It is good news. It is life-changing news. It is tumbling out the window type of news. It is good news. Come on, somebody. I ain't preached in some weeks. I feel good right now. And so how will we respond? Perhaps there's just not enough people that are responding. Perhaps the reason why our churches are divided over politics, music preferences, and even who should preach on a Sunday is because we have been apathetic and failed to proclaim the good news to everyone we meet. As a result, many people are unaware and remain unrepentant. And the world continues to be shaken up, waiting, just waiting for someone to open their mouth. You know that in Romans, it says that all of creation, the Greek word there is all of the cosmos, are in eager anticipation for the sons and daughters of God to be awakened to communicate the good news. That's it. But what are we doing? Are we asleep? Because this is what I want to challenge us, Overflow, is with this idea. If we would awaken to this reality, then the good news will lead to us a lifestyle change. Not rules and regulations, not do's and don'ts, but the good news of who Jesus is will actually transform people's hearts. You don't have to believe me. We just have to go to the scripture. Here it is, verse 4. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and the leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. These people were excited. They were expectant of something new that was happening, and they could not sit still. The Bible literally tells us that they were confessing their sins and being baptized by a guy wearing clothes made of camel's hair and eating locusts. Man, let me tell you something. That is good news. That's got to be good news to follow somebody out in the middle of nowhere, dressed like God knows what, eating bugs. Some of you might know a little bit about history, and so you're probably saying to me, okay, Elijah, big deal. Like, it's ancient antiquity. Like, come on. Like, obviously, you know, ritual baptisms and washings were something that every group in the ancient world really did. And they were probably following all kinds of crazy people, dressed in all kinds of crazy ways. But did you know that immersion in the water was not a Jewish practice? It was specifically for non-Jews who were moving over from being a Gentile into the practice of Judaism. One scholar says it like this. He says that one scholar says that telling a Jewish person they had to be baptized or repent the same way that a non-Jew did would have been offensive. That this is because it challenged the prevalent Jewish belief about salvation. Most Jewish people believed that if they were born into a Jewish family and adhered to the Torah, that they would be saved. John's message was different, however. He says, man, the playing field has been shaken up. Jew and non-Jew, something new has happened, and that thing that has divided us does not divide us anymore. Your ethnicity does not divide us anymore. How much money you make does not divide us anymore. What type of politics you have does not divide us anymore. If you're a LeBron James fan or Michael Jordan, it does not divide us anymore. We have been united by the good news of Jesus. Come on, Overflow. I'm preaching better than you responding to me. That something new has happened. It has taken place, and it has literally turned the world upside down. I want you to hear John Mark's voice leap off the page. Something new has happened. And it has changed the way we do stuff. And so you thought that you were okay. You thought that you could continue living the same way just because you are a son of Abraham or a daughter of Abraham. Guess what? No, we all equally now come to the foot of Jesus. Something new has happened. Here it is. There's something about belief and expectation. These people believe and expected something new, so they were willing, really, literally, to go against the traditions of their day. What the subscribed leaders of that day said, because they were so desperate for it. Have you ever been desperate for something like that? I'll tell you a quick story. I am somebody who is desperate for glory. Not my glory, but my team's glory. I'm a University of Miami fan. It's okay, you can boo me. We have more national championships than you, whatever. I am somebody who is desperate for my team to win every year. I believe in my soul. It has been a long time. I believe in my soul. In fact, when they're on, I won't even watch it with my wife because there's a little bit too much hater in her. She is always like, Elijah, is going to be another losing season again? I'm like, get thee behind me. Just leave. Just leave me to myself. Why can't I just watch my team in peace? She likes to heckle me. So I send them away. I was like, no. And I am watching. I am believing. I am expectant every year. So much so that there are words that are said that if you heard them, you might not want me to be your pastor. You know what I'm saying?
You know that kind of expectation, Michigan fans. Every year you think you're going to win it, but you don't. This might be the year. I don't know. But there is this expectation in my soul that maybe, just maybe, I will be surprised by hope. Unlike Michigan State fans. I'm sorry. I had to see it. I'm sorry, Bobby. Might I suggest, we who have been given the full revelation of who Jesus is and have been handed the good news, if we lived our lives with eager anticipation and expectation that this good news has the power to save us, that our lives would change, what would it look like if we took it seriously? Would we look differently? Would we talk differently? Would we act differently? How about the people which are around us? Would they get to hear the good news? John, Mark makes it clear. Jesus the Messiah has come. And now everything changes. That means our priorities have to change. How you engage with the poor, the sick, the lonely, the widow, the orphan, your enemy and your friend, your community and lost. How do you prioritize your time, your money, your talents, your reading of scripture, your prayer life? Everything now changes because the God of the universe has broken through time and space and had you in mind and had me in mind and had the cosmos in mind, and that redemption would now be us. We would be restored back into right relationship. I wonder, what were the thoughts that were going through your mind when Pastor Dan was talking about these Hope Maker cards, these Generate Hope Maker cards, Hope Sunday cards? I wonder. Is it like, oh yeah, man, that's that thing again? Like, we're just gonna throw it and like it doesn't matter? Or are you thinking, this is just another opportunity for me to proclaim the good news? The good news of who Jesus Christ is. Do you know, like Pastor Dan said, there's four Sundays here that we say we're all in. We're always all in. We're always trying to reach people for Jesus. But like everything around this Sunday is geared. I have been praying and pleading with the Lord that, hey, this week we would see. The last time we did this, we saw 13 people come to know Jesus and be baptized on a Sunday. Yeah, you can celebrate for that. That doesn't happen all the time. We say that we are all in. We're praying, the worship, everybody here. And what does it look like to be all in with us on one of these Sundays? That they may not come this Sunday, but what if they come for Christmas? What if they come to Easter? What if they come for something else? That we're believing that you're going with them, that you're grabbing food with them, that you're praying for them, even when you're tired and you're just like, oh, I just want to sit down. But man, I know that there's a friend of mine that needs Jesus. And so I'm going to pray for them and believe, and I'm going to serve them because there is good news that reached me, and I know it can reach them. What does that look like to say, wait, we're all in this together? Let me tell you something really quick. Overflow Church is not interested in trying to get more butts in seats. That is not what this is about. We're not interested in trying to take people from other churches so that we can say, oh, look at us, we're growing. That is antithetical to the good news of Jesus. These Hope Maker cards are not for friends who know Jesus that are participating in somebody else's church. These Hope Sunday cards are for people that are far away from Jesus. And we are saying we're going to be intentional about the proclamation of the good news. Because it is good news. It breaks through dark spaces. And it reaches us. And it draws us forth. God's calling us. John says it. Good news, everyone. Jesus Christ has come. So repent, believe, and be awakened from your slumber, because everything has changed and it will never be the same again. Let's pray. Father, I pray that in this moment that we would feel in our hearts the power of this good news. That we would participate as John did, and we would yell out from the rooftops, something new has happened. The world has been turned upside down. Come and receive. Come and receive. In Jesus' name we pray.